Please join with me in prayer. Wonderful God, we hear ancient words of a people coming back from exile, hoping against hope of things that might be, and yet finding things not that way, destroyed still, in ruins still. And sometimes, Lord, we find that very same thing in our lives as well. Be with us, even then. Be with us especially then, O God, for we pray it in your Son's name. Amen. So if I mention the word Spirit to you, what things conjure in your mind first off? I mean, for example, Spirit could mean, some people might think, well, community spirit. Maybe team spirit, like on a team sport, say a football game or a basketball game. Or maybe you think, well, maybe you think of alcohol. Those are spirits, right? And there's even an airline called Spirit Air, Spirit Airlines. But biblically, I suppose you could also say, well, the equivalent in the Old Testament of spirit is wind or breath. In the New Testament, you might think of flame, or this Pentecostal flame that happened in Acts chapter 2. You might think of dancing or something where people show enthusiasm and for life and for living. I wonder, though, when the prophet Isaiah, here in the very beginning of the scriptures, mentions about the Spirit of God being upon certain people, I wonder what we think of then when Isaiah mentions the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to all, to comfort all who mourn. Today's sermon that I want to share with you is, in a sense, a sort of a somber sermon, but it's very appropriate, though, because Advent is not so much a time for celebration and happiness as it is much for preparation. Looking at our lives, looking at our faith, and getting ready for a gift, an amazing gift, that we celebrate in the birth of Christ child. So I pray that we might share together some honest thoughts about the scripture. Do we associate the Spirit of God with some of the people that's mentioned by Isaiah in his sharing today about those who are captives, those who are prisoners, those who are in mourning, those who are oppressed for some reason? How appropriate it is to hear right now, during this time of Advent, during this season, that those who mourn, lest we forget people who are even grieving right now. And in our nation, in our world right now, there is a whole lot of hurt. There are people who have lost loved ones, not just because of COVID, but because of other deaths, and have been not able to gather to celebrate those deaths together. There are people who are unemployed, who are experiencing, maybe for the first time in their lives, the inability to collect a paycheck, and they wonder about themselves and their own abilities and why this has happened to them. There are people also who are receiving help from food pantries, some who have received it before, but others, again, for maybe the first time in their lives, they are experiencing this. There is this sense of separation. People not gathering together, just perhaps when we need to be together, it's hard to do that and to be truthful and honest to ourselves and to the situation in which we face. Well, life was also very hard at the time that the scripture was shared from Isaiah. People have returned from the Babylonian exile, and their hopes were up until they got there, back to their homeland, and those very hopes were dashed because life wasn't going to be the same as they had hoped or even imagined it. It wasn't that grand homecoming party that they were hoping for. The oppressed, the brokenhearted, the captives, the prisoners, the mourners, the spirit, to use a phrase of the great novelist Toni Morrison, the spirit centers on the hurt of our hurt world. The hurt of our hurt world. Even when Jesus begins his ministry, he uses these words, these very words of Isaiah, in his very first inaugural sermon in his hometown in Capernaum. These very words. And it's precisely there, at those broken moments of broken people, where the Spirit breaks in and ministers to people there. The Spirit heals our brokenness. So the Advent question for us is, why is this? Why? Why does the Spirit work on behalf of those who are kind of experiencing right now the underside of life, the hurt of this hurt world? Why such a focus here on this Sunday by Isaiah on these suffering people? It may be because this is who God is. And this is the kind of God whom we worship and whom we follow. Remember Jesus, how he talked to his disciples and he said, I was hungry and I was thirsty and I was a stranger. And when you fed others and when you clothed others and when you visited them and when you saw to their needs, you were saying, you were helping me. You were doing it unto me. In a lot of ways, although it's hard to say this, a lot of what we celebrate during Advent is not about gifts. Maybe during Christmas, but not about Advent. Advent has everything to do with a ministry to and with and for those people who are on the margins. Doesn't matter if those people on the margins are in Dane County or in Douglas County, Wisconsin, or anywhere else for that matter. We have to be thankful and we have to be thoughtful about how we talk about people, and how we regard them, and how we treat them, not as objects of pity, but as people who also need the love and care of God. In my reading, I came across a letter written, this is in the late 1700s, written from the Duchess of Buckingham in a letter to the Countess of Huntingdon. And this was a letter about those lower class, middle class Methodist preachers. This is what the Duchess of Buckingham wrote. She says, I thank your ladyship for the information concerning Methodist preachers. Their doctrines are most repulsive and tinctured with impertinence and disrespect toward their superiors in perpetually endeavoring to level all ranks and to do away with all distinctions. It is monstrous to be told that you have a heart as sinful as the common wretches that crawl the earth. This is highly offensive. In this moment, take just a kind of a quiet spiritual journey or recollection of yourself. Take an inventory of yourself and ask yourself, am I in touch with those who are on the margins right now? Am I in touch in some way? Do I have at least empathy for those who are on the margins right now? Because to be in touch with God, I really think that we cannot lose touch into being in touch with those who are on the margins. Now there is, many of you remember the TV show MASH. MASH was one of those beautifully written television shows that in the same episode you might wind up laughing in one part and you might wind up crying in another. In one of the episodes, this is during the Korean War, in one of these mobile hospitals that is what MASH is all about, the doctors received a patient who believed that he was Jesus Christ. His name was Arnold, and he had been a bombardier in the war, and he had seen his bombs go over a lot of cities and over a lot of people, and he was completely traumatized by the experience of having been responsible for that. And on that particular day at MASH, his mind and his spirit snapped, and he decided that he was no longer a man named Arnold, but he was Christ, the Lord. And it appeared to be, it was a condition that they really had to have a psychiatrist come to work with him and to talk with him. So eventually the psychiatrist came, talked with Arnold, or with Christ, and he said to Arnold, you say that you are the Christ, and yet you're here in this army hospital in the middle of a war. Is this really what Jesus would do and where Jesus would be found? And then, with tears streaming down Arnold's face, this supposedly ill man replied with these words. He says, I am Christ the Lord. Where else should I be? These are my children. Tear-stained Christ in the wilderness of war, among those who are in the margins, those who are brokenhearted, those who are captives, prisoners, who are ill and in hospital, all those who mourn for their loss. Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, is among us because the Spirit resides in him, and the Spirit wants to reside in us, so that if we have eyes to see and ears to hear, all of those needs, not even all that far away, maybe next door to you, maybe across the street from you, we may understand that in those very needs and in those very people reside the Spirit of our God. Amen.